Hey there, wild one. Welcome back. What does it actually look like to live a spiritual life? Not in theory, but in the day-to-day moments where we're just trying to make it through. Today, I'm sitting down with Jay, who for more than 20 years has studied and practiced energy medicine, learning from indigenous and mystical traditions, as well as modern science. She's been a Reiki master and teacher since 2009. She's a somatic experiencing practitioner in training and is trained in matrix energetics. Jay is truly a bridge between world seen and unseen, weaving ancient wisdom and contemporary energy work into pathways of profound transformation. In today's conversation, we explore the space where intuition meets embodiment, where the energetic realm becomes something you can feel, and where the how of spiritual practice finally becomes more clear. And this conversation, it's a part of my Into the Known series, created especially for the rooted seekers who long for depth and grounded meaning, the curious and learners who are bravely rethinking what they've inherited, and the wild blends who are weaving together intuition and intellect to build a life that actually fits. From animal spirits and angelic guidance to Akashic records, Reiki, and somatic experiencing, Jay invites us into a world where spirituality isn't an escape from reality. It's a way of being deeply present to it. We talk about creating personal rituals, noticing the symbols that are already speaking to us, and building simple pockets of peace that strengthen our connection to spirit, stronger even than our own instinct for survival. Partway through, we stop just talking about the modalities and we actually step into a live reading together, exploring where I've been stuck, why Harold and the purple crayon keeps showing up, and how one of my animal guides reminds me that shedding old skin doesn't have to be so hard. If you've ever wondered how to weave the mystical into your everyday life, or how to make spirituality feel real, embodied, and doable, this episode is your invitation. Let's dive into the known. Jay, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I am thrilled that we found a time, but it is the full moon.
It is.
And I love a full moon. I love to howl at the moon with the kids on the full moon and Tom and have a bonfire. And I just love a full moon. But man alive, does it bring some energy. Are you feeling that?
Oh, 1,001%. And I agree with you. I love a full moon, but sometimes it can hit us hard energetically and spiritually, and then therefore emotionally and mentally.
Yeah. How do you think that feels collectively? Or like, what do you think that the message is here right now? Like, we're going into the holidays, a time of love and peace and joy and laughter. And I don't know about you, but I've been feeling kind of, I don't know if the opposite's right, but just like
different.
It's been heavy. It's been so heavy. And I haven't even put out an episode the last 2 weeks because it's just been too much.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, that poses an interesting question of what cultural or religious heritage or even just our modern culture puts upon us for what December should be, what the season should look like. And I know that we share a lot of the same value systems. And so seeing how much has shifted from even a Christian, but before that, a pagan journey through the season. So an indigenous connection, which involves the moon and it involves those cycles, so that our ceremonies are more aligned with that than they are these Gregorian calendar dates that we should show up as a certain way despite what's going on around us. And that's just a very unsustainable and unhealthy way to live. So it can be an intellectual mind bleep in order, you know, to grasp the expectations, especially as mothers and families and our own traditions that we either want to tear down or preserve. So yeah, I think that the energy collectively is struggling because we're not giving in to what is trying to transform us. And it's time for change, period. End of story. Time to change.
Oh, I feel it.
Yeah. And that's what cosmically we're being asked to do as souls. And our 3D physical reality does not support that transition. So it can be a struggle. December can be a challenge.
Yeah. Is this every December or is this like amplified this year?
Oh, it's amplified. I think it's, you know, we're moving more and more towards the change. So we're feeling the, you know, it's like the metamorphosis. We're all inside the cocoon right now.
Yeah.
You know, we're turning
into snakes.
Sludge. Yeah. And the butterfly fights its first round of, or the caterpillar fights its first round of DNA that comes in to say, you're a butterfly. Caterpillar says, I am a caterpillar. Mm-hmm. It kills off that DNA. And then a second round comes in and there's so much butterfly DNA, it takes over the caterpillar. So there's that struggle, right? That internal fight of who are we? So yeah, there's a lengthy answer to your question.
I know. And I wanted to start by introducing you. And instead, I just get so excited on full moons, Jay, that I'm like, I want to talk
about
this energy because it's been heavy. So Jay, let's back up for a second because there's listeners that don't have the pleasure of knowing you yet. Mm-hmm. My friends, buckle up. Jay's a treat and this episode's going to be great because she's got such an amazing heart. And Jay, I want you to tell the listeners, who are you and what do you do and how do you help people?
Yeah, so who I am a woman who is dedicated to following her passion and her dreams, but also helping the world. I put that out there in a very vague way because there's so many ways in which to do that. So I'm dedicated to my children. I have three of them. I homeschooled them for a large majority of their childhood. So I'm very dedicated to alternative education. I do that part-time now. Currently, I'm homeschooling some young ones. And I also do energetic healing. And so I call it the AHA method, which is awareness, healing, and action. So I work with the Akashic field, which is simply just your energetic information. And we bring awareness around that and what challenges people are having. And then I do energy medicine. So I practice a number of different things, Reiki, matrix energetics, and somatic experiencing. And then action, helping people understand that the woo-woo is a practical way to live your life. And so giving them ways to implement what we work with in the energy field into their everyday life. So it can help us get through times like December.
Right. That's amazing, Jay. Thank you. I've actually had a handful of sessions with you now, and each one has brought its own insights. Anything from just like peeling back a layer with my husband, Tom. We had a couples session with you, which was amazing. And then I even had an individual session with you. And one of the things you said to me in that session was like turning your to-dos into ta-das. And I have loved that. That has freed me in so many things. And even like find pockets of peace, Mandy. And that's what I did today before our interview, Jay. Like knew I had this time with you at 1 and came in here at 12:30 and really started to just like calm down, sink in. I drew a card. I tried to really like open my heart and clear myself and figure out like, what do we need to say? What do we need to do? What are we focusing on for this? And be intentional about our time together. So that phrase though, Jay, like pockets of peace, so simple, but so profound, like really helped me. So I want to say quick that, you mentioned a lot of things really quickly that you do, like Akashic Records and Reiki and things. And some of my listeners are like, yes, they're pumped probably right now. They're like, yes, I want to dive into all these things. And there's also going to be listeners that are like, what? So while we're conversing, I kind of want to have this balance of like, explain yourself and then go.
I love it.
Okay. So the first session that I had with you, one of the biggest things that I took and I still keep thinking about, like I have been chewing on this question since my first exposure to you. And it's, how do I make the spiritual part of my daily life? What does that mean?
Well, first, I ask the client what that means to them, and you investigate what they're already doing because the folks that come to me are seeking, and folks that are seeking have a connection to the unseen. And so they already have a practice that they're probably so used to doing, they don't even notice that it's a practice. And then you also find what is their language? I have my own language for that connection. And you have a different language for that connection. And so, not imposing my philosophy or my words, but rather really understanding what the client's words already are. So, do you say Great Spirit? Do you say Mother, Father, God? Do you say Father, God? Whatever it is, energy, source. Finding your language and what you're already doing in your day-to-day helps you create a practice where you are plugging into that energy. And you can imagine it like a cord. You're plugging a lamp into that connection by experiencing and connecting to it. And so the more you make it an easy thing for you to do, the more you make it fit to what your life is already, the easier it becomes to awaken it and you get comfortable and you find that practice for yourself. I've tried to do, a very rigid idea of what connection is. And I've studied all the different kinds of religions. And really, what has drawn me the most is what is your individual connection? Because that's what a mystic is. A mystic is somebody who lets spirit talk to them and have a relationship. So it can start out very easily if you let it. And then you just put your focus on it throughout the day. You don't necessarily, I mean, it is very good to have, and I could do better for myself. But I'm neurodivergent. I have ADHD. And so for me, I have to make it work in the moment. So I have items around my house, like I'm sitting here at my computer, but what I'm looking at is a mini altar. I have things, I have my courage, sign up, I have my Ganesh here, I have my little rattle. And every time I look at these pieces, it reminds me of who I really am. And it reminds me to acknowledge that, because that in and of itself trains the brain and it trains the body.
That was one of the biggest takeaways I took from you our first time meeting, Jay, is you were like, get these little things, Mandy, set it up. I'm like, I already have a lot of these pieces in place. But I think what you said is like, I've put them in the background. Like, I'm so used to walking by them and I haven't stopped and like connected with them. They just are there and I like them. And since you've said that to me, Jay, I have a little Jesus thing that's up by my front door. And so like now I try to say something to Jesus, or if I'm like making lunch and I turn and I'm ready to snap and I see Jesus, I'm like, okay, give me patience. Like, be with me. Help me right now. And so I'm trying to connect with it more than just how I was, right? Like just walking by. And so I have like probably five or six things like that around the house and in different spaces. I don't necessarily set up an altar. I have them kind of all over. But now I'm trying to like check in with Mother Mary when I'm getting ready and like my grandpa's cross that I have up. So I just have different like little things that I'm trying to like slow my heart and focus on and lean into instead of just the like going about my house how I used to. And I love that. So you might have already placed items like this in your home. Find an intentional way to connect with it. Or like Jay said, prepare a space and then go into the space and find a way to connect. Jay, if somebody doesn't even have a practice started, I mean, what's the point to start? What would you recommend, like a great thing to start doing?
So I'm going to first change the language. Instead of practice, I'm going to say relationship.
Okay.
Because it makes it easier to obtain practice. If you say that to me, I'm going to be like, no, not going to do it, not going to practice. I will inner rebel against it. And that's just me. Some people love a practice. So for those people who love a practice, pick something you're drawn to. Is it animal totems? Is it stones? Is it whatever it is that you're already automatically drawn to? Just go be with that every day for 30 to 5 minutes a day. It can be 30 seconds. We're retraining our mind. It is cognitive therapy in a degree of just reframing these ways, like you said, and how we look at the items that are around us or the things that we're already doing. Somebody might have the practice to go out on a walk with their dog and look at a tree. Like that in and of itself is the practice of creating relationship. And that's why I want to change it from practice to relationship, because spirit isn't something you learn or develop the connection to it. It's actually already inside. We have to become aware that it is there.
Mm. And what it feels and looks like.
Yeah. And so the only way to do that is to have a relationship with what you are drawn to specifically. There's no external right way to do it. So there's no external practice that is the one. It's what calls you and it becomes integrated. And this is why I don't like it to be a practice, because that means it's like set apart from the rest of my day. But what we're developing is a relationship to spirit, a relationship to spirit. And it's not outside of us. It's inside of us.
That makes so much sense, Jay. Like, the relationship that we have with spirit needs to be stronger than our instinct for survival.
Hmm.
Like, I get caught up, and we were talking about this before, like the 3D, the day-to-day, the matrix, the like, this is what I have to do to survive. And sometimes those things are real, right? That is a reality for sure. But fostering a relationship with spirit should be stronger for me, for us, than the need to just get by.
So you pose a really good question, and I love that. And this is why I entered the world of somatics. Because the survival instinct that we have is biological, it's real, and it happens to us before we think, before we feel. And so it can't, in a certain way, where we are biologically currently, override our instinct to survive, nor would we want it to, because we do want to live in the body. So we have to figure out how to take the body along for the ride. And you said something very point or spot on earlier when you said, I took the time to slow down. Even before you do the practice, I took the time to slow down. That's a choice. That comes from a presence. That comes from an awareness within you. I would say, you know, your intuition. That is also your survival instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Your intuition is in your gut. You know, we hear people talk about gut instinct. They may not believe in any woo-woo stuff, psychics or whatever, but they will believe in gut instinct. And so when we realize that they're actually connected, your instinct to survive and your connection to spirit, they're not different. So the somatic piece, because our bodies work 6 times slower than our mind and our emotional landscapes, the somatic piece is really important to take on so that we can live in the 3D realm from a place of regulation, meaning we can go through ups and downs without being derailed. And so when we have really hard experiences, the first thing that's going to happen is you're going to have a physiological response. And so to understand what is going on, then we incorporate and can work with our spirit, our emotional sides, and our intellectual side. Because you cannot, from the top down, just make all this chaos go away. And some of the chaos happens to us. It's not because we created it. So how does that land?
Always. I mean, you're making so much sense, right? And I'm like, do we back up and explain, like, what is 3D? What is 5D? Because I know there are some people that aren't going to
yeah.
know what you're talking about with that. And you've brought it up a couple sure. times already.
So we can just define 3D and 5D. 3D would be like, I go to work, it's my linear life. It's the things that I have to take care of, food. It's what we as a culture know is our reality. It's, if we're talking about it, it could be on the level of our body. Our body is a 3D mechanism, whereas our emotions and our thoughts and our spirit, when I talk about 5D, it's a different dimension. Just like we have one dimension, two dimensions, and three dimensions, and that's what's been proved by science and we know as a mainstream, there are other dimensional realities that quantum physics is exposed to us. And so those are just simply different levels of energy and how they manifest. Now, those are more big words, so I don't know if I actually answered that question for those who may not know, but it's really simply put, do I just live in thy body, what I can, in my five senses, or do I tap into my sixth sense as well? And the sixth sense, the sixth sense is our intuition. It's all of our connection to spirit. It's all of the things that are unseen, because from an energy standpoint, it's just subtle energy that we can't see, feel, or hear with our five senses. Just like we can't hear the different dog whistles that a dog can hear, does not mean that the dog whistle doesn't work. And so that's what quantum physics does. That's what mystics do, is they really study what's unseen. And that's the subtle layers of energy that envelop us and are within us. You know, if you want to crack open an atom, you'll see that there's nothing inside. Well, the nothing is very important because that's the energy. We just haven't develop the scientific mechanisms to be able to detect these sort of things, although we are developing more and more nowadays. You have aura photos, you have, you know, electromagnetic readers. That's why they're not one and, you know, separated. They're the same. We all have that within us. We're just learning how to tap into it.
Yeah, we were even just telling the kids today, like, a lot of people, and these are not most of my listeners, are people that like to, I don't even know if like to is the word, but it's like they get up, they get ready, they go to a job they hate, they come home, they binge watch TV, they pass out, they wake up, they go to a job they hate, they binge watch TV, they pass out, they get up, they go, like, there's not a lot there, right? Or if it is, it's like obsessed with the latest Stanley Cup and the trends and like hopping around to this state of like ridiculous busyness that, like, for themselves or their kids, it's just very materialistic, if you will. Yep. That's how I kind of think of 3D. Is that fair, accurate, true?
I love that. Yeah, where you're only seeing a certain layer of the things.
Right.
You're not seeing the depth to life. You're not fully experiencing a deeper meaning in life. So I love that. Yeah, that works.
Yeah, and we were kind of telling the kids, like, that's an easy way to go about it, right? Like, there's still hardship there. There's still plenty of things that can be hard to overcome there. And it's not necessarily a cakewalk or Skittles and rainbows, but to your point, we're looking for more depth, right? So like when things are happening, we're like, why is this happening? What am I not learning? What do I need to do differently? How do I show up better? It's trying to create too, right? Like trying to create what we actually want or manifest things that we're hoping for or that we're going after versus waiting for things to happen or just thinking things are going to get better and having a victim mentality. So trying to really get there.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
It does. It absolutely makes sense. And what keeps flashing in my mind as you're saying all this is like, I don't blame the individual. I blame the culture. Because as you said, our culture idolizes things. It idolizes success to be, I have these, advent calendars that don't just give me chocolate. They give me, you know, all the best wines from around. Like, it's just the excess that we worship is the demise of our planet because our planet can't sustain that kind of mentality. And so because we've lost a lot of our indigenous connections with how we understand rhythm and cycles, we've been pulled away from rhythm and cycles. And we've been told if we just do X, Y, and Z, we'll receive this X, Y, and Z back. And we know that that's just not the case. Greed is rampant. And it's in the hands of a small amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
When we start to come together, and Jesus said this, when two or more are gathered in my name, your power becomes exponential. He said it different and better, but that's the point, is we have to, we're communal beings. We are biologically and physiologically reliant on each other. And so when we don't have the cultural systems that help us integrate grieving, that help us integrate hardship, dealing with trauma, dealing with, you know, life initiations that we go through, then we lose parts of ourselves. And so we try to find it in the external world. And so it becomes very isolating. It becomes hard to go against the grain. And you're not always rewarded for doing so.
Yeah.
And so, you know, people like you and I who did not send our children to the normal system of raising our kids in order to interrupt patterns that we saw that needed to be interrupted. There's an easy time of creating that little new earth within our own family structures. And it's needed. And the more that we rely on each other to do those types of things and create a different community, because that's what you're doing. It's not these individualistic lives that our kids were living. And I don't homeschool my third child, so I can see and feel the difference and how it's hard to rub up against that, right? You are swimming up current. However, all that to be said is it spawns within us the need to create community and not really think that we have to do this by ourselves. If I'd learned anything about the hardships I've gone through in the last 3 years, is I can't do things by myself. And that's a trauma response, right? Is when we think, oh, hyper independent. So it takes a lot of vulnerability to create a community as well. So there's a lot behind it that I think if we, yes, we need to work on individuals, especially like what I do, I work one-on-one with people, but I also work in ceremony. And ceremony is the piece that has been lost that gives us a bigger structure to energetically, meaning emotionally and mentally, and then somatically, because you're doing things in the ceremony with your body, that you can alchemize this energy. You can create something new out of it. And that's why my business is called Somatic Growth, because there's so much research that's been done about the growth potential after going through really intense transformations, aka trauma. And we as a community don't have the structure set up to deal with them. So, you know, that's why you're doing what you're doing on your podcast. You're living wildly intentional. It's perfect.
Trying the best.
And you're giving. Yeah, well, it's not easy. You know, it isn't easy.
No, it's hard. But it's, I think it's worth it, right? Like you feel changes happening and you can see them happening.
You've changed things.
Go ahead.
Already. But you've changed already. The mother you are.
Yeah.
You know, the mother I was able to be and still can be. We did that.
Yeah.
So it's not all bad. And that's the benefit. That's the benefit, is we can go to bed living with integrity. We have a deeper connection to what's around us. And that's why we do it. Because there is a bliss in there.
For sure. I mean, I was even watching a video today that was like the difference in parents in generations is the ABCs. Some parents avoid, other parents blame, and then some parents get curious about why their kids feel the way that they do. And the curiosity that see is like the piece that I think our generation doesn't know how to communicate. Like, I don't need the first two responses. I really just need you to be curious about ownership and just like, this did happen, instead of gaslighting, right? So
yeah,
I don't, it's just being intentional is very hard. And like I said, at the same time, I wouldn't change the approach or trying to do it. And that's why I have conversations with wonderful people like you, is just like, how can we keep learning and being more intentional and growing? And I think that, Jay, with you, the how do we do this every day in easy, practical ways is really part of your gift, is like you can break it down and make it doable. And I think that so much is thrown at us, you know, like you should do this, you should do that, either systemically or even in a spiritual sense. It's like, well, you should do Reiki, you should do Akashic Records, you should do somatics, you should do this, you should do that. And it's just should. And then so many people that are used to the, I got to go, I got to do this, I'm too busy, the time's speeding up, which is super real. I even feel that, right? It's like, what do you start with, right? So I think to your point earlier, it's going to be different for every individual, but would you be open to just kind of going down these little, like, let's talk about somatics. Let's talk about animal totems and fairies and angels. Let's just kind of dive off on all these different connection points and let the listener kind of make a buffet and figure out like what sounds fun to them.
I love that. Absolutely. Okay. Sounds fun.
Well, you've already talked a lot about somatics. So would you mind just starting there? Like, what is somatics? Like, I hear that and I've been seeing that more. I just found and was given the book, The Body Keeps the Score. And I don't know. I think the first thing I was thinking when I heard somatics is like, is that tapping? Or like, what is that? So I'm going to stop talking because that's about my knowledge of somatics. But I want you to talk to us about somatics, if you would, please.
Okay. Well, I love that. Somatic experiencing. We're going to start there because that's what I utilize in my practice. It's part of my toolkit. It's not its own independent modality. So somatics in and of itself just means the body. And so recently we've really understood the mind-body connection, and a lot of therapies in the mental health or the body worker fields are getting trained in somatic therapy. So somatic therapy can be a bunch of different modalities. Some people do dance. Some people do just movement. Some people do Tai Chi. Those would all be considered somatics. So you're right, thinking tapping would be part of what somatics is. What I do in specific is somatic experiencing. So I study the nervous system, your physiology, and your fight, flight, and freeze responses. And I see where in those responses you're stuck, that can create disorders like CBTSD or anxiety or just overwhelm. When our body's nervous system cannot keep pace with the life that we're living, that's when we have stuckness. So what I do is I attend to that. We look at the different cycles. We look at how people are responding with different events, and we help them resolve it in their physiology. So it's similar to what I do in energy work, because the energy work is there to help your nervous system calm down. And as I like to say, it's the scientific expressions or education about how Reiki, energy medicine, woo-woo, whatever you want to call it, how it works. So your nervous system, your physiology is just a reflection of, say, your chakra system. And so those two pieces for me are easily combined, because it's literally like getting the body on board with the rest of the healing journey. We call it the bottom-up approach. So a lot of things happen top down, like I'm going to breathe to relax myself. I'm going to do meditation in order to calm my nervous system. I'm going to go on a walk to release this energy. What we do is we watch the body and what responses it has naturally, and then we guide it to completion so that you're not carrying that stuckness any longer.
So how with somatics, Jay, are you finding stuckness? And then how do you work people through that?
Well, for me, because I have the ability to see interdimensionally, so I can see other things happening. And as a child, I like to say I'm like the movie Sixth Sense, where the little boy just sees traumatized dead people. And so for me, that has been always something I've seen within the metaphysical work that I do, is in people's Akashic fields, in their past life records, in their childhood. I can see what their traumas were. And I would always ask, how do we resolve this? How do we help this? And so, yes, I do get other pragmatic pieces like earthing. Go outside and ground yourself because you're so dysregulated. You need to understand you're part of an ecosystem, not just a walking head. Something that simple. But really, my desire is to help people resolve deep issues. And so the somatic piece does that without doing it through traditional talk therapy.
That's... So, you know, Lindsay Leahy, obviously, episode 21, Lindsay, I think, is the one that introduced me to you. And on that episode with Lindsay, I said, I haven't done therapy. And then I realized, I think all the ways that I've been healing and Reiki and all these different modalities that you're talking about, they are a form of therapy. Like, I just never pieced that together. Until after I said that and then reflected on it. I'm like, I would kind of consider all of these forms of therapy. It's just not, to your point, traditional talk therapy, right? Where I'm like, this is a licensed therapist that I am going to talk to. I've been more so exploring other avenues.
That was just because you don't just have them. I love that. That's huge. And I love that you make a point of that, because I've been in the similar boat. When I first started to heal, when I was, I would have been about 22, where I really took serious charge and quit drinking and doing a whole bunch of crazy stuff and really took charge of my healing journey. I started with talk therapy and it just really didn't work for me. And it wasn't until I studied somatics within the last 4 years, it was really understanding that when you suffer from childhood abuse or CPTSD or PTSD, you are at risk when you do talk therapy to re-trigger your nervous system. And so there's never completion. Person stays stuck in a cycle. So they shy away from going to do that because it just hasn't worked, because we've been approaching it one-dimensionally, to go back to that. We just look at a person as a mental piece. And, you know, if you study things that are not mainstream, current neurology, and my daughter's in school for psychology, they are teaching now more of the mind-body connection. They are understanding that what we traditionally known as therapy is not the full picture.
Okay.
Spiritual connection is therapy. Emotional releases is therapy. And we... again, don't understand energy and how it really works, because we haven't spent the scientific time to build things that can study it. So we go into the experientialness of it. And that's why, you know, I love going back to somatic experiencing, because it really allows somebody to experience their life. Like you said before about the people that are numbed out.
Mm-hmm.
Or when even people like, you know, who are seekers like us, when we have really hard times in our life, it's easy to just want to numb out because it's too much. And so working within the full spectrum of all that we are helps us stay on the healing path. There's no healed. There's no perfection here. We're on Earth School. It's about contrast. Do I want this? Do I want that? Do I want this? Do I want that? Do I want this? Do I want that? And how do we involve ourselves, or shall we say, go back to have a relationship
Yeah, I kind of like that as the anchor for the episode. It's like the ink, like, how do we have a relationship on the daily with all the noise, with all the options, with everything? What does that look like for us?
They do say, you know, a master at meditation can meditate on a busy school bus. Mm. And I say school bus over a city bus because you know school buses. That's what we are training to do as seekers, as those who are healers of the world, who are the sensitive. It's not for everybody. But we are being asked to refine our abilities to sustain ourselves and be able to regulate ourselves through hard times. Because we see the world. The world is not rosy. The world is hard. We're not making this shit up.
Yeah.
And so, you know, part of it is our personal journeys, of course. And that's also going to happen. It's a microcosm. The macrocosm being, you know, the cultural stage, and the micro being our own personal stages. And, you know, while it is hard, it also is fun. And that's the thing about working in the fields of energy and the stuff that I do balances out this heaviness that we talk about, because it is light, you know, literally and figuratively, it is light. And that's where we balance these two pieces, because that's the goal here, is to be able to hold paradox.
That's what I think is so beautiful. I tend to leave sessions just really feeling like clear, grateful.
Good.
Even if it's clear in mud.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, oh, this is why I'm standing in mud. Not saying I can see through the mud necessarily, but just like, I think this is, I'm where I'm supposed to be, even if it is stuck in mud, you know? And it's just, it's a trust. It's a lot of trust that, like, we are going through things and doing things for something. We might not know it in real time or be able to make, like, a logical, like, yeah, that's why I did that. It's not like 1 + 1 = 2. It's like 1 to the X + 2 to the Y = I need to go back and study some algebra now.
Yeah, I'm
like,
done.
I don't know. I don't know the answer to that one. I'll be back. Yep. And sometimes that could take a week, and sometimes that can take months, and sometimes years, even if we only think it's going to take us a semester to learn it, right? Like, it's interesting. Okay. All right. Well, we paused. We paused and had a little offline conversation, and Jay, someone that I've gone to a couple of sessions with, and I kind of asked her, like, Jay, you know, everybody gets and sees things differently. They know different modalities. To your point, they have different interests. Like, I've probably gone to 6 different people for Reiki, and my experience with Reiki has been 6 different ways. You know, like, everyone's doing it in their own way. So I think that's part of what is beautiful, but also confusing, right? Because as a facilitator, you know, my whole past life in corporate America was facilitating meetings. And what I always thought of as the facilitator, and I'm sure you can, I mean, you are essentially an energy facilitator, you do sessions, you're facilitating. The balance I always had in facilitating a meeting was, you know, my clients are having this problem. They need to get here, and I have 90 minutes to get them there. They don't need to know that I'm going to facilitate this innovation game, and then I'm going to take them through this exercise, and then they're going to do this. They just need to know that I'm going to get them to this, like, plan of marching orders, right? And so I want to kind of flip it to you, Jay, if you're open to this feeling of being stuck. This, what does it look like? And I think if you're open, if you would be willing to help me in a way, like, where am I stuck? And how would you in a session get someone through that? Just like, it's up to you whether you time out. This is somatics, Mandy, and explain to the listeners, like, why you're choosing this modality and what it'll help do So I kind of want to let you lead for a big portion of this interview and just like, how does that feel for you? Does that sound okay?
That's great. Absolutely. I think that's perfect because what I do has to be more experienced. It doesn't, like you said, it doesn't need to be studied by everybody. They don't need to know why I'm doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
Right? They just want to feel better.
And I wanted to give listeners more depth than just talking, right? Like, here's actually what you could expect if you go see somebody like Jay.
Yeah.
You this, go see uh-huh. Jay. Like, yeah, this, you're available and yeah. It would love to help people. So
thank you. It's my passion. And I love that your question is, I'm just stuck because I have a lot of people that just start there. They don't have a big reason why. They just know what they're doing hasn't worked and they're looking for something else. Mm-hmm. So it's a perfect place to start. We don't have to have all the answers, but we go on that journey together to discover them step by step. So I think we should do exactly like a little mini session. Typically, my sessions are 1.5 to 2 hours that can sometimes seem like a lot, but I feel like when we're doing this kind of work, 1 hour just isn't enough. So what we'll do today is what I also offer are just like mini intuitive checkups. So what we're going to do is a milder version. So we're going to attempt to get you from point A to point B, like you had said, with this energy of stuckness. And how do we resolve that? So the first thing I would do when you come to my session is we would have a nice cozy office that you can sit into or have a nice space that you're into, because it's really important that your body is comfortable. So I just want you to make sure that you're sitting in a comfortable space. Yep. Do anything you need to do. Rock your neck.
Taking a big exhale here, Jay.
Good. And this is part of the somatics piece. But also energy. We're coming into alignment with both your energetic body.
I feel like my jaw is so tight.
And your somatic body. So that's okay. We can work with the tightness because we're looking at what comes up. That's what somatic experiencing does. What is bubbling to the surface? So when you notice that tightness, can you give a quality to it? Meaning, is it light? Is it heavy? Is it intense? Does it maybe even have a color?
I don't see a color, but it feels like a screw, like on its tight, like it's been cranked, like in my jaw. Mm-hmm. And I didn't even notice it until I just started breathing to relax, kind of settle into the space, you know? And then I was like, God, my jaw, like, tight. And now I haven't stopped, like, rubbing it. It's tight.
So if it's okay with you, instead of rubbing it, to try to get rid of it, what we're going to do somatically is be with the sensation. Because your body naturally wants to move to unstuckness. So I see you're opening your mouth and I just, and there's a yawn. Yeah. No?
Yes. Stop.
Good. Excellent.
Wow.
What do you know?
I don't know if I can describe it, but I just feel like that was the longest yawn of all time.
How do you feel about the pressure? Is it the same? Is it different?
It's looser. It doesn't feel like it's cranked anymore. It feels like just more normal. How I would have assumed that it was before I realized it was tight.
So I want to explain what just happened to you somatically.
Okay.
You noticed, and this is when we begin to relax into our body, that's when pain or tension shows its face and we notice it. what we traditionally do is we try to fix it. So you went up to rub your jaw to relieve that pressure. So Maddox invited you to observe it, to just be aware of it. And when you did that, you went into a yawn. And a yawn indicates to me that your body physiologically went into rest and digest. So it was no longer in the hyper-aroused state, the cranking of that screw. There was a tiny little movement that helped that energy get unstuck.
Before you explained it, Jay, my mind was like, so what? Mamie's jaw felt tight and then she yawned. Like, what does that have to do with spiritual daily practice?
So in my work, what I also see alongside of it is we have opened the energetic field. So I have invoked the energy of Reiki, which just means I'm attuning myself to a different energetic feel. I can feel it differently. I feel lighter. I feel connected to all that is. It's a shift. And when we open that to create the safe place, things can move on their own in a safe way, because your body can sense that my physiology is not in a fight or flight. The Reiki also holds space for you to get there, creating a safe space for your nervous system to rely on my nervous system to be okay. So that's how, for me, I get my nervous system to regulate, is I am in tune with my practice. And my practice is Reiki, because I love energy. I love understanding how energy works in that body. Okay. And so that's one way that it's spiritual. The second piece is that when we're in that space, I just naturally see things. And so and you do too. Everybody does. We have that in ourselves. It's our image chimp. You know, it's the right brain. The left brain is the logical channel, linear. How do we get things done? But the right brain is all about images. And we make meaning through there as well. So in that image, I saw vibrant colors coming in. I also know, just because I've studied this, this is your chakra of communication. And I know from knowing you, because you are my client, that that has been one of your challenges. So of course you're tense there. So we can link, why is your jaw tense? Because it's really hard for you to be able to get things across that you want to share, et cetera. We could go, you know, in depth on that on a personal level. And so by doing it through the somatics, not everybody needs to understand all the physical or the spiritual stuff, right? But for those who want to know about it, like you and I, you know, the vibrancy, like lots and lots of birds for you. That is a big one for you. And you have a lot of guides.
What do you mean by that? Like animal guides or guide or like what?
So you have a lot of guides that are supporting you in this journey where speaking your truth, unclamping your jaw. And you are just now learning how to tune into those energies. And birds represent a lot of different things. So, I mean, you can go into all individual birds and they will hold their own particular healing energy. Or I like to think about it as they're part of our community. They're here to assist us. So for me personally, a tiny little brown sparrow, boring as hell, represents all of creation for me. It's spirit talking directly to me, because I had a particular ritual ceremony where that bird came to me. So now when she comes, I'm like, oh yeah, that's who you mean to me, okay? Now, Sparrow probably has her own unique qualities. I just haven't really dived into what they are. I don't need to work with that element. I know what I need to know. So everyone has their own particular relationship. Some people work with angels more than others. You particularly work with animals, which is in part why you're called to do what you do by being a self-sustaining woman. You are living on the earth plane for a reason, right? So let's just take a moment and call in whatever bird wants to be here today to support you. Now, the first one I see and feel is just a bald eagle on your left shoulder.
That's what I was
for you
calling in. Yeah.
See, there you go.
I was thinking and about, since you said a bird, I've been thinking of and imagining a bald eagle.
Well, there you go. There's how the energetic and the Akashic field work. I've just tuned in to what you're already emanating.
I don't feel right? like bald eagles are endangered species. I see them all the time.
Well, Iowa actually has done the best in reclaiming the species for our country. So we do have an exorbitant amount here in Iowa. However, that said, bald eagles are called to do really significant things. They're very regal. So you're commanding spaces, right? Say, you know, that's a different energy than a little sparrow would have, right?
Yeah.
And look at what you've done with your life. You're creating and commanding. And when I say command, I mean like a queen archetype, where you are holding the energy of. So it's one of your totems that's been with you your whole life. But it's really calling to you now. And that's why it's on your shoulder. You're walking around with it.
So what is it telling me?
Well, first things first, animal totems will tell you what they want to hear from you when you stop to engage in them. So again, going back to that relationship, when you're outside and you notice a bald eagle, A, what are you noticing that you're thinking at that moment? What are you noticing that might come through you as an aha feeling at that moment? That's one way the animal communicates with you on a consistent basis. Another way is for us to just take a moment and tune in to see what it has to say to you today. So for you, what I want you to do is just plant your feet on the ground. I want you to take a couple of centering breaths. And I want you to be open to any images, visions, thoughts or colors that can come through. And I will do the same. And when I speak in a little moment, you and I can discuss what we've seen. And again, if you see nothing, that's totally fine. Or feel nothing, it's okay. So what I hear, first of all, is big change, right? The bald eagle is a representation of the United States of America. Like, it is a big deal. You're creating a whole new system of living. It's like a whole new earth. So the elevation of the work that you're doing is very high, right? It's important work to do to help change our culture. It's an honor, essentially, to be doing the work that you're doing. The other really important thing that Eagle shares with us is that you have to look at things from the higher perspective, right? Eagle soars around and it sees things from the higher perspective, not because we're better than, but because you can see all the details that are going on. You can see that all the pieces that when we're just looking with our eyesight here with our 2 feet on the ground, we just see the one piece here and the other piece there. But when we're elevated and we look through things with a higher perspective, we can see all that is going on. And so even though our lives are really challenging right now, when we take a minute to step back and observe what we're doing and how we're doing it, we can see that there's a bigger piece. There's a bigger picture to why we're doing what we're doing. And also the third piece is the eagle is so, what's the word I'm looking for? It's an archetype that everybody uses for independence, for freedom. It's a very big one used in the collective consciousness,
mm-hmm.
right? Where everybody is understanding it. And that's where you're doing your work, is you're shifting the collective consciousness by shifting your own. How does that land with you? No pun intended.
I mean, I see eagles all the time. And like I took school pictures of the kids at a park and I looked up when we were done. It was just a really beautiful day. They were playing. I got pictures of them. I looked up and I saw probably 15 eagles just like circling in the sky. And they were completely in sync with each other. And I was like, what does this mean? Like, just that's so pretty to observe. And I think to me, it's just like, is it just that? Just that I noticed that in nature? Or like, how do I then know that? Because, I mean, Jay, I'm so fascinated with animal spirits. And you've told me, and numerous people have told me, like, you've got a zoo around you. And I'm always like, who are they? What do they want? Like, what are they telling me? What am I not getting? And then it also gives me this sense of like, well, I'm farming and butchering. And this weekend I'm hunting. Like, is that okay to do if I'm connecting so much with animal spirits?
Well, think about the Native Americans.
I know.
Yes, you're living with the land. That's a different relationship with reverence that you're owning when you're living this world intentionally. Intentions are energy. It matters how you approach things. And you're going to carry an energy whether you're aware of it or not. So you might as well develop the awareness of your own energy. And so when I invite you to know that the eagle will speak to you in the future, the piece that's missing for you is to go back to what we talked about today. Slow down. Slow down and stop. Take some deep breaths. Go into your somatics. Go into your body. Notice what's happening. Just observe it. Things will move through you. Your stuckness, your inability to receive that message will open up and you will hear what that animal is telling you. Just like what happened today, getting you into a place of less resistance, helping you move through something that was stuck physically, helps you connect deeper and unleash the stuckness that you have in receiving the messages. Because you can come to people like me, but I don't want people to rely on me for their messages. I want to teach them how to hear their own.
Yeah, that's what I'm always big with things like this, is I don't want to create a dependency where I have to someone to figure it out. I just want help in learning how to figure it out.
Yep.
I just like so badly want to go outside and see if our eagle's here. There's an eagle that like always lands on our tree line, and he has since we moved into this place. And we are up on top of a hill, and so we have a really high tree line, and he likes to go up there. And anytime the eagle visits, the dog starts barking and the kids start yelling, you know, like, the eagle's here, the eagle's here. And
wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But the image I had, Jay, when we were like quiet and doing that was, you know how like the eagle has like the American banner in its mouth? It was that, but purple. And the eagle was like aggressively zigzag darting. And I'm like, what does that mean?
Mm-hmm. You want my professional opinion?
Yeah. Yeah. These are the things that I text you. I'm like, I saw 31 birds on the drive today. Okay. Like, what does that mean?
So before I tell you my meaning, the best way to understand your own intuition is to understand what do those images represent for you? I went to my first like tarot teacher and she was like, so tell me, what do you think the images mean? I'm like, that's why I'm coming to you. I have no idea. It's just a sword. I don't know. But when we take the time to sit with it and go, okay, what does a sword, let me think about a sword. Well, what comes up for me? I think of like a female warrior. I don't know if you've seen the movie Woman King, but just that fierceness. Or I think of Archangel Michael. Mm. He carries a sword. And those, because if you study any sort of psychics or mediums, their interpretations of the symbols are personal to them. And they can understand. So for me, I tend to go into a deeper, like, what is the cultural significance of that? So purple is a regal color. And like we were talking about when I said it's a very regal scenario, you should feel honored to do what you're doing, even though it's hard, right? But it's hard to be anybody who's a leader. And so the darting, well, I think we both know, given your personal circumstances, you know, how much work you are doing in the realm of shifting the mass consciousness, the familial consciousness, interrupting all of those patterns that you've chosen to interrupt. And you're doing a lot of it all at once. It's like the transformation or transition in birth, right? Right before you're about to give birth, it hikes up its intensity, right? That's a similar piece. When we're in a stuck place, we have to transform it. It has to learn to move. Sometimes things are moving a lot faster. And so I also think, you know, while you're doing a lot at once, it shows too the need for you to slow down because you're going so fast. To be intentional, as you know, you have to do it slower, right? And think about it. The body moves 6 times slower than the rest of us. So you're walking in the correct pace. Our culture doesn't keep the correct pace with our body. We're off our circadian rhythms, you know? And so you have to go outside of the box and do that. And so slowing down. And the next piece is trust what you hear. Okay? Because I learned from my psychic teacher, every good psychic dares to be a bad psychic.
Mm.
Me? You have to listen to hear it. And if you misinterpret it, fine. You know, not everybody's going to interpret everything 100% of the time, but you'll get enough. So what do you think that purple banner and the darting means for you?
Yeah, the purple, I didn't know as much. I mean, I associate purple with like Jesus and okay. Your point, like royalty. And I'm not saying that I compare myself to Jesus at all, but more so just that's my mental association with purple. It's mm-hmm. been one of my like less favorite colors for a very long time. But lately, like I've been finding myself coloring with purple. Oh my gosh, I just realized even right now, the kids and I are reading Harold and the Purple Crayon. So all week, we've only been coloring with purple or on purple paper. Because I love Harold and the Purple Crayon. Like he's so...
Me too.
Well, Crockett Johnson's brilliant, but his character, Harold, is amazing. And he just creates like the most fun stories and imaginations. And so I've been drawing a lot with the kids in purple. So maybe that's why, I guess, just it's fun. I don't know. I'm thinking about this all just like I'm very extroverted in terms of like speak to think. So that kind of like the new meaning that I'm placing on it, just even talking about this with you.
See, exactly. And that's where we would invite in a deeper, longer session. We would go deeper into, well, why do you like those stories? What in those stories inspires you?
Right? Because Jesus crayon or in like yeah. the meeting that I'm doing?
No, the purple crayon story.
Oh, he puts himself in danger to get himself out, right? Like he's, and it's just like the cutest thing, like, you know, and then there was a tree.
Let me stop you.
It's just.
Let me ask you, in your life right now, to interrupt patterns that you are breaking, in some ways, have you put yourself in danger in order to get out?
100%.
Exactly.
And it feels so irresponsible.
Yeah, but you don't see that about Harold. You see that because that's a familiar belief of irresponsibility.
God, that's so good, Jay. That's so good. Man, here we are making Harold and the Purple Crayon so deep.
Absolutely.
It's so much. And now it's like all these new meanings for me.
Yes, it's huge. And that's how spirit directs us. It directs us through symbols. It directs us through parables, right? That's how Jesus taught. Stories heal. Stories allow us to experience the information, not just hear it, which is why we did what we did today.
Jay, that's so good. Yeah. And the darting, I feel like, is just like I keep saying, I feel like I just keep walking into landmines. Like, I think my presence or even my name alone is triggering a lot of people, like, regardless of what I say. Right. And so that's been hard because I feel like I come over here and it's like, and I just feel like stuck or lost. Right. Like, I just don't even know where to go or what to do.
So I'm going to interrupt you. And this is what I do often is I like to call it intervene instead of interrupt. Okay. Because where I see you getting stuck, I'm going to stop you. And then I'm going to say, and this is a somatic piece because I'm watching what you do with your behavior. How does your body respond to things that you're speaking of? Because that'll tell me a lot of clues. And you said, and for those who aren't watching, your hand was level with your chin and you're going back and forth, like zooming like a bird, but just back and forth on one plane. Okay. What does an eagle do? Shh, shh. I'm soaring all around with my hands. And that is what the eagle, I just got chills. That's what the energy of the eagle is inviting you to let in.
Is that soar?
Yes. Is allowing yourself to explore other places to zoom. Okay. It's not just here and it's not just there, because oftentimes when we're in a deep transformation in our lives, we're going to go through a lot of loss and we're going to keep trying to look for what we need from things that haven't been working for us in the first place. And so a requirement is to allow our spirit to soar into different places, to seek what we're looking for from different places and different people.
So I have this animal spirit book by Kim Crom. Okay. It's an oracle deck that I picked up when I went to visit my cousin. Really? And it says, so this is brilliant too, how she lays it out. It's like by energy or by element. And then she goes in order of the food chain. And so it's interesting too, that like, our family animal totem is the wolf, which is the apex predator of the earth animals. And then I associate too with the eagle and the beaver. Yes. She's holding a picture of wolves.
Two of them right here.
Yeah. I love the wolves. And then the eagle is the apex predator of the air sign. And so this says all pervading power, truth seeker, transforming karma. When the eagle appears, you'll soon be thrown into the karmic fire for the sake of your transformation. The eagle pushes us to be our best and brightest selves and stops at nothing to see us shine. Grasp the sun in your talons and hold on for the ride.
It sounds like Harold and the Purple Crayon to me.
Totally. So when I drew a card before I got on with you, because I was like, I want to draw a card and then talk to Jay about what I drew.
Okay.
I felt like I was going to draw the eagle.
Okay.
And I didn't. Then I always get like, oh, why'd I get a fish? I got the fish.
Oh, and it has the, it's hard to see. Maybe pull it back a little bit.
Yeah, it's.
Here, pull it back. There you go. So it has also the mystic moon.
Yes. So.
And what kind of fish is it? Is it a sturgis? Is it a.
Not a sturgeon. I don't know the type of fish this is. But it's interesting, too, because now when we talk about the 3D, right, like the description for the fish is restlessness, which I'm way restless. I to the point where, like, I named one of the personas for listeners the restless reformer. Like, so I way resonate with restlessness. Change of focus, lost in the current. Which to me gets back to the 3D that we were talking about. Like, I think the gravity of it is so damn heavy.
Yeah.
I do feel like I get lost in it. The fish loves to be submersed in life's current. Nothing pleases it more than movement, movement, and more movement. The roaming lifestyle of the fish may be exhilarating for a while, but usually leads to weariness in slippery relationships. With all the possibilities out there in the vast waters, the fish becomes lost without clear goals and intentions. Spend some time with the lunar forces, dear fish, as the peace and calm of the moon will soothe your soul. Before I came in here, the kids were eating lunch, and I was like, with Tom, and I was like, hey guys, I'm going to go do this podcast interview, and then we'll finish up school. And then we're going to go outside and do a bonfire until it gets dark. And then we're going to help the moon. And then I grabbed this card.
So what does that mean to you?
I felt like it was validating for me that I feel like I need to connect with the moon tonight. And I'm feeling the energy of the full moon. But the part that's tripping me up, like the weariness, I have just felt like a heavy heart. And that's where, like, why we had to take the time out. Because I'm like, I want to keep talking to you about that in a one-on-one, not necessarily on here. But like that, I feel that for sure. And the slippery relationships, like it's just to your point, like I think when a chapter's opening, doors and windows close while other ones open. And that's just hard. And it's already been just such a year of so much grief that's been just like, it feels exacerbated in a way. And the fish becomes lost without clear goals and intentions. I think that's the part that when I pulled this, like really tripped me up because I feel so like I'm a Capricorn, Jay. I'm like, I got goals. Okay.
Yeah,
like,
get
I got lots of goals and I don't take no. I go to my goal. And the intentions, I mean, that's the whole reason I started this and have created the wolf pack with the family and stuff. And the more that I chew on this, the more I think for me, it's about loyalty.
And who are you going to be loyal to?
Yeah. And just like, what does that mean? And then like, where does that belief come from? What does that look like?
Mm-hmm. These are all beautiful questions.
They're hard. And yeah.
Well, I would like to help you reframe that this path is hard because right now you are being bombarded and it can feel like this for a lot of people out there. It's one thing after another. And especially on full moons, it hits us harder because full moons are designed to reveal to you what you've not been focusing on. But they're also about letting go. And so utilizing, seeing what your shadow is revealing to you. Maybe there's patterns that you've been living that you want to change and you're ready to let go of them. And here's the key. Tonight you're doing a ceremony. And I want to bring that back because this is why we need others. This is not just the mystic's journey has been perceived to be a lonely journey. And it can be sometimes because you engage in different things that people don't see. But really, our duty is to bring back the community to the world. We need other people to bounce ideas off, to have revelations with. But we also need those other people to celebrate and to mourn. Remember, grief is just an individual path. Mourning is something we do within our culture. There's a lot to mourn. We've lost a lot as a culture, as humans. We're feeling the heaviness. And so ceremony is, as I like to say, it's like a comforting bath. And if you don't like baths, think of a comforting bed that holds us while we go through the experiences of feeling, of looking for meaning, of sitting with ourselves and observing what's on our mind and what's going on in our body. So we're not doing it by ourselves. Because when we do it by ourselves, we can get lost. We have to do this work with other people. We have to do this work with our guides. I talk to invisible people all the time. And they're part of my community. My guides, my angels, my fairies, my feathers, my plants, my animals. And so tonight, and this to make it personal to you, because I know your story, and everybody knows what you're doing. You're interrupting patterns and living a different lifestyle. You are intentionally choosing to live what others would perceive as hard. But what you're doing is like, Harold, you're putting yourself in these places that seem like dangerous. People don't like you. People reject you. You know, the world does speak with money. You're putting yourself in a dangerous situation in order to transform. That's not irresponsible. That's alchemy. That's magician energy. That's what kings and queens do. They put themselves. That's what parents do. You put yourself in danger in order to get out of it because you're facing it. You're not sticking your head in the sand. You're not turning on the boob tube. And you're not buying your way to happiness that you'll only need to buy more shit tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We're cultivating long-term sustainable practices. My family has gone through hell. And I'm not saying that just because I homeschooled, I somehow have the magic key. But I devoted 20 years of my life, not building a career. I devoted my life to interrupting the brutal family patterns that I did not want to carry on. I didn't come from roses. And I don't think a lot of us do.
Right.
Most of us don't, actually. And that was important. And now, right now, I'm 50 years old and I'm having to go through a whole new transformation. Because the partner I was with couldn't handle that journey. He wanted it easy. But he's not happier than I am. My life is hard, but it's also really fucking satisfying. And sometimes when we really start to, like right now, babe, you are in the hard time. And it isn't always like this. So stuckness and transformation isn't always hard. It can be in moments. But tonight is not going to be hard because you're creating a ceremony to hold all the stuff you're going through, all the stuff that you're letting go from your past. And you're creating space for your descendants, your children, to tune into a cultural, communal experience that also does that for them.
Yeah, my hope in doing that with Howling at the Moon is that, like, now even, it doesn't have to be a full moon for our son to be like, look at the moon. And then he just howls, right? And I'm like, I just smile and like love that. Cause I'm like, I hope that when you're 30, 40 and you do feel stuck or lost or not loved or like what the hell's going on in the world, that you look up at the moon and you remember me. And I will probably get 8 text messages tonight that's like, did you see the full moon? It's like, yes. Like, you know, but like a lot of people associate me with the full moon because I love it so much. I even named a farm Eureka Moon Farm. Like, and to us, that was like, it's a new chapter in our life. And yeah, that's my big hope is that moon like sticks with the kids and they understand that like it's all phases and it is to celebrate. So I guess I love what you said about like, I need to reframe the hard. Because it is hard. Like, there is truth to that. But, like, what would the reframe be then, Jay?
That's a good question. So when we're trying to reframe things, we don't have to go to extremes. Because trauma is never healed with extreme action. Trauma is healed with a slow and steady response. And so we climb the ladder of emotion. So if it's hard, what's the next better feeling for you? Could you name that?
Easier? Like
easier.
Is that I don't know if I've answered that.
There's no wrong answer. We just go with what comes to you. And that's a big piece of working with me is getting okay with what comes to you and then understanding it. And I help you translate what that means.
Okay.
So all these hard things are getting a little bit easier because now I have some more support in my pocket. all of these hard things are a little bit easier now because I understand what the meaning of this is. All these hard things will become easier as I do them over and over again.
Mm. Or like I'll be able to understand the messages the animals are bringing me easier.
Yes. I connect easier with spirit to help me through challenging things. So I don't like the word hard. I like the word challenge.
Mm.
Because challenge gives you the hope that you can get through it. Hard tells the nervous system, oh shit, I don't think I can handle it. I'm going to shut down. And challenge reminds you, you're on the earth plane to learn. You're not here to create the next Target commercial.
Right. Can I ask you something while we're on animal totems?
Yeah.
This is the year of the snake, like Chinese zodiac, right? And it's like the shedding of the skin. I feel that. Like things are changing. It's been a lot. I'm not going to say hard. It has been challenging, my friend.
There you go.
Very challenging. But next year is the year of the force.
Then.
Like, what would be a good shift or...
So what does a horse represent to you? What meaning does that horse bring to you when you think of a horse?
Oh, man, Jay, so much. Like, I grew up with horses, and I was spoiled with it because my sister, my mom, and my grandpa were really good at, like, saddling them up and everything, and I just wanted to hop on a horse and find a boyfriend. Like, I didn't really care about, like, all the things that went into it. And the kids both have created a horse fund and bought a horse of their own. And I have noticed I am so nervous around horses because I look at them as so powerful. Like, they're very strong. They're powerful. And like, you know, horses too, like, and I know that I shouldn't have this fear around them because they can feel that for like over a mile. They can feel the fear in your heart. So I know this, but at the same time, it's just like, as a mom, like, it's different for me having little kids that are like the perfect height to be behind a powerful leg. And they're not wild Mustangs. They're amazing horses. We have two really amazing horses. I think it's just like the fear of like, what if? Because, you know, little kids are unpredictable too. And so it's like, what if they spook the horse and then the horse kicks them and then that's a bad... I get really nervous around our horses just because I want it to be a positive thing. And I say all that, like I said, the horses haven't really done anything. It's just, I don't know. I love them. They're powerful as hell. Like, they are such strong animals, but there's this duality to them. That's like, they're very, very sensitive because they can feel that heart.
Boom.
Yeah.
Remind you of anyone else you know?
Me?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you know who we're most afraid of? Ourselves. And within ourselves, we're even less afraid of our shadow than we are of our magnificence. And Nelson Mandela said that, but it was, and I can't think of her name right now. She ran for president. My brain is tiring out, but Marianne Williamson, you know, we're more afraid of the light within us. And so the energy that the horse brings, which is that strength, which is that wildness, which is the ability to, yes, be a prey, but a very strong prey. And yes, this reminds me of Harold and the Purple Crayon. You're putting yourself in danger in order to get out of it. You're putting yourself around things that can be dangerous in order to feel the freedom of overcoming the fear. And overcoming fear doesn't happen for the fear, the feeling to go away. It comes from the experience of working through the fear, of looking at it, feeling it, being intentional about it, pushing yourself gently out of your comfort zone. You don't want to do, you know, just jump on something that terrifies you. You walk slow and steady towards it so that your body can acclimate to the calmness of it. So that's, I think, the takeaway for the year of the horse is to understand that there's so much power that you have within you, and me too, and everybody else. This is a collective year. We shed all that is no longer needed for ourselves in order to step into our power. And sometimes that feels dangerous. It feels vulnerable to be on a podcast. It feels vulnerable to talk about, you know, what I've gone through in the last 3 years, my own trauma, being a trauma resolution practitioner. And yet it's what we're being invited to participate in order to feel that growth. Because we're here to grow. We're not here to stay the same.
Jay, I think that's such a beautiful message to end with, honestly. I love it. It's, yeah, stepping into your power. I think that's such a great open invitation, especially after the challenging year of the shedding of the skin. I think that's a great place to call it. Like, it feels like that's a great invitation to get our hearts and our minds around. Let's find a way to step into our Jay, yeah,
every
I'm
day.
So happy you were vulnerable and you joined me on here. Like, you've helped me immensely in just a couple of sessions. And I think if even one person decides to reach out to you for a one-on-one, or you said something about doing community events in spring. Do you want to talk a little bit about more, like, if people are feeling like connected to you or a call to you, like, how could you help other people?
So the classes and the ceremonies are going to be for anyone, and you don't have to be a client of mine. And it's a way to start touching into these levels of different avenues of healing. So somatics, I'm going to teach level one. So how do I, and this is for anyone, how do I not get overwhelmed in my day-to-day life? How do I deal with things when I feel dysregulated or thrown off because X, Y, and Z happen? What are some tools I can take home in order to process this so I don't stay stuck? So that can give, because I really believe we need to shift the way that we see how we interact with the world and attend to our physiology in order to sustain ourselves. And the other piece is really training women how to tune and tap into their intuition and trust it. And that's the part of stepping into our power, because we're told what to do step by step, day by day, moment by moment. It's just whether or not we trust or believe it. So that's what we work on in that class. And both of them will be a 6-week program so that you can take little bite sizes and practice them at home so that by the end of it, you feel like you have a really solid toolbox to walk away from, that you can work on things that are very not deep issues. If you do suffer, though, from deep trauma, or you're just in a big life transition, or you're wanting to just really understand esoteric information, that's when I suggest going on one-on-one, because then we can do a mentorship program.
Nice.
For that piece. Yeah. And then the ceremonies will be 4 ceremonies a year, and they'll really be seasonally based, and they'll also be community based. So how do we share vulnerably? How do we run a ceremony? How do you develop your own ceremonies? Just to get people comfortable with the practice of ceremony and to have an avenue to do it with others who are of like mind.
I will be seeing you a lot in 2026, Jay.
Yes.
So people, you can find Jay at somaticgrowthwithjay.com. And I will link it in the show notes. So just go to the link and all of her information will be in there. But Jay, I always value our time together. I want to thank you so much for joining me on the podcast and for just sharing your heart and all of your guidance and wisdom that you have. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for having me. This has been a pleasure. I loved our conversation, as always. So I appreciate the invite. It's been a really big pleasure for me.
Thank you, Jay.
Thank you.
So Jay and I stopped talking here, but I kept recording. And we had a really good, like, offline conversation. And then she randomly drew a card for me. And I want to pop back into what I recorded for that.
Oh, look. Look what I just drew.
What?
Yep. It's a woman with a horse. Can you see it back here?
Are you shitting me? Can you text me a picture of it?
Yeah. And it says, "You are understood."
Are you kidding, Jay? Hey. Oh, my God.
And that's the point, babe. We need to build our own communities and do our own stuff. And be with like-minded people. We can't keep looking at the same people expecting a different outcome.
Oh my gosh, Jay. This is crazy. It's not crazy. It's totally divine. I've got it. That's another like reframe I try to make. It's like I used to say things were crazy when they were like oddly coincidental. But now I'm like, that's not crazy. And it's not coincidence. It's divine. Like that was supposed to be validation.
I am so grateful for this conversation with Jay. Her presence, her wisdom, her ability to bridge the mystical with the embodied in such a grounded human way. These moments remind me why Into the Known exists in the first place, to explore the inner terrain with people who have walked it deeply. I want you to think about something and consider this for a moment. What is one small, sacred practice that you can weave into your day? Or like Jay and I said at the beginning of this conversation, something that you can have up or look at and notice and connect with. Something that brings you back to yourself, to your breath, and to what's real. To the wild ones listening, thank you for your openness, your curiosity, your willingness to feel your way forward instead of forcing. Every time you choose connection over survival mode or presence over perfection, you're reshaping your inner world. And that shift, it ripples far beyond you. If you want to go deeper or you're interested in connecting with Jay, check the show notes to get her contact information. And hey, if something stirred in you today, share this episode. Send it to a friend, a fellow seeker, or someone who's learning to listen to their own inner wisdom. We grow in community. This is Mandy signing off. Until next time, stay rooted, be brave, and live wildly intentional.